promoting scientific research and discovery in respect, as we should, we must also be alert to the equal and opposite danger that public policy could itself become the captive of a scientific, technological elite.
We've signed a climate convention on the importance of economic instruments and free markets. We're included in this mammoth Agenda 21 document and the Rio Declaration. Let me be clear on one fundamental point. The United States fully intends to be the world's preeminent leader in protecting the global environment.
Coming up, Technocracy News. Welcome to Technocracy News and Trends. This is Patrick Wood, Editor-in-Chief, and welcome to today's broadcast. We're going to take a look at the anti-human movement today. Can you believe that? I'm not talking about anti-humanism. I'm talking about anti-human, anti-people. In other words, let's get rid of more people. The title to this first story is Professor, Fewer Humans Needed to Strengthen Human Rights. And you'd have to figure that Oregon State University would be the one to lead with this kind of a story, but a professor there, William Ripple, and one of his associates have come out with a new and rather alarming notification that the world needs less humans. I wrote at the top of this article, delusion results from deception when rational facts that expose the deception are rejected and ignored. Increasing numbers of scientists are hardened in the cult of delusion. And if there is an imminent danger to the world, it is they. Ripple's report, called World Scientist Warning of a Climate Emergency, states, quote, scientists have a moral obligation to clearly warn humanity of any catastrophic threat and tell it like it is. Based on this obligation and the data presented below, we herein proclaim, with more than 10,000 scientist signatories, from around the world, a clear and unequivocal declaration that a climate emergency exists on planet Earth. Will there be untold human suffering if humans do not stop having children in order to avoid a climate emergency? More than 11,000 scientists signed a paper authored by an ecology professor at Oregon State University making that case. OSU's William Ripple and Christopher Wolf, a postdoctoral research associate at OSU, were the lead authors of the paper called World Scientist Warning of a Climate Emergency, published in the journal Bioscience. Their call to, quote, reduce the world population, close quote, is among six solutions. We need to reduce fertility rates through voluntary family planning, Ripple told the College Fix in an email. The paper cites proven and effective policies can help reduce the population in order to strengthen human rights. They include access to family planning services for everyone, full gender equity, and giving everyone primary and secondary education, especially women. Quote, we believe that prospects will be greatest if decision makers and all humanity promptly respond to this warning and declaration of a climate emergency, and act to sustain life on planet Earth, our only home, the paper states. Ripple maintains a website called Alliance of World Scientists, where he encourages scientists to read his paper and sign his petition to show, quote, that you generally agree with our article. The Alliance has 15,000 members from 175 different countries, according to the website. While it claims to vet those who seek membership, the Alliance specifically seeks, quote, scientists from any scientific discipline, including graduate students in the sciences, close quote. It makes no mention of requiring an institutional affiliation. Ripple's attempt to persuade leaders to implement his agenda stands in contrast to the approach recently favored by Ivy League students. They made themselves a nuisance at the Harvard-Yale football game, delaying it for an hour in order to protest climate change. It isn't the first warning Ripple has issued about climate change in a paper. In 2017, he was the lead author of World Scientist Warning to Humanity, a second notice, which drew more than 15,000 signatures from 175 countries, according to the website. Ripple's most recent paper claims that the climate crisis is threatening, quote, the fate of humanity, close quote. And everyone has an urgent need for action. It cites six areas that need to be addressed: energy, short-lived pollutants, nature, food, economy, and population. I think we need to transform how society functions and interacts with nature, Ripple told The Fix in an email. We need to address social justice issues and honor the diversity of humans around the world. I see this transformation leading to a new carbon-free economy and operating within the limits of the biosphere. Well, thank you, Professor Ripple. We don't want any part of this. This is indeed an anti-human policy that you're proposing. And indeed, while you're intent on saving the planet, there will be people left behind from this policy. If you push us back into the 1800s again, as far as energy is concerned, you can forget economic development. It takes energy to run an economic system. Cut back energy, you cut back economic activity. That means you cut back jobs, you cut back income, you cut back productivity. That doesn't help humans. That hurts them. Well, I've said for a long time, the sustainable development is basically an anti-human proposition. They say they're going to save the world, that they're going to eliminate poverty, that they're going to create opportunities for everyone. But in fact, just the opposite has happened. And this is not a new thought. There were people even back after the Rio de Janeiro conference in 1992 that pointedly wrote that the United Nations policies to save the world would not only not save it, but would destroy it in the end. Today, we see the aftermath of that. But people like Professor Ripple apparently never got the message. Well, actually, I think he probably did get the message. He just refused to look at the facts, and he refused to interact with anybody that has a view different than his. Well, the next story brings Jeff Bezos back in the news. I titled this article, Big Tech Technocrats Embrace Military Technocrats. You know that birds of a feather flock together, don't you? Well, they really do. It's not just a saying. This is the way it is. It doesn't matter where technocrats exist, even if they're in different political ideologies, they will always find a way to collaborate with each other because of their belief in technocracy. My comments on this article at the top are, in his 1961 farewell address, President Dwight Eisenhower warned about the military-industrial complex and the scientific elite in the same breath, lest we, quote, become the insolvent phantom of tomorrow, close quote. Big Tech and the Pentagon are chock full of technocrats. Bezos' warning that Big Tech and the Pentagon need to be tightly affiliated is a clear sign that technocrats are in control of both. The article states, Amazon CEO and founder Jeff Bezos gave a dismal outlook for the nation if U.S. tech companies decide to not support the Pentagon's war business. Quote, if big tech is going to turn their backs on the Department of Defense, this country is in trouble. That just can't happen, Bezos said at the annual Reagan National Defense Forum in Simi Valley, California. He continues, look, I understand there are emotional issues. That's okay. We don't have to agree on everything. But this is how we're going to do it. We're going to support the Department of Defense. This country is important, he added. As Silicon Valley courts a closer relationship with the Pentagon, tech firms have faced backlash for pursuing lucrative Defense Department contracts. Last year, Google announced it was working with the U.S. military to analyze drone videos by using artificial intelligence. This controversial contract, dubbed Project Maven, caused thousands of employees to protest the initiative. In the wake of the firestorm, Google decided to not renew the contract upon its expiry in March 2019. Loosely referencing the sequence of events in the wake of Google's Project Maven, Bezos said that tech firms should support the U.S. military's efforts. Quote, I know it's complicated, but you know, do you want a strong national defense or don't you? I think you do. So we have to support that, he said. We're the good guys. I really do believe that, Bezos said. Now, we're not dealing with just an ego here. I think Bezos is probably being perfectly honest by saying he really believes that we are the good guys. That is, collectively, big tech, full of technocrats, are the good guys that need to help the government out, and that collectively, the technocrat elite just can't afford to turn their back on the Defense Department. Like I said, technocrats of a feather flock together. It wasn't just a saying that your mom or dad told you when you were a little kid. The last article I wrote myself. It has a lot of memories and a lot of emotional baggage with it, I'm sure. But Paul Volcker, one of the original founders of the Trilateral Commission, died at 92 yesterday. I can't say I'm shedding any tears. Paul Volcker was one of the absolute insiders in the Trilateral Commission from day one. And he and David Rockefeller and Zbigniew Brzezinski and Alan Greenspan and Peter G. Peterson and other Trilateral Commission members of that day were the ones who brought the new international economic order to us, a.k.a. technocracy, a.k.a. sustainable development, green economy, Green New Deal. This is their new international economic order. They were the ones that proclaimed interdependence back in that day. They said, oh, it's an interdependent world now, you know. Well, it really wasn't, but they said that until everybody believed it. And now the world has been rearranged on its axis, and everything is screwed up. There's not a continent on this planet today that is not train wrecked because of the interference and meddling by members of the Trilateral Commission. So I wrote a short article, and I stated, Paul Volcker was a founding member of the Trilateral Commission, along with Henry Kissinger, Zbigniew Brzezinski, David Rockefeller, Alan Greenspan, Jimmy Carter, and many more. It was fellow Trilateral Jimmy Carter who appointed Volcker as chairman of the Federal Reserve in 1979. President Ronald Reagan renominated Volcker in 1983. The Fed chairmanship was then handed to Trilateral Commissioner Alan Greenspan in 1987, who lasted until 2006. Trilateral domination of the Federal Reserve spanned two Democrat administrations, that is, Commissioners Carter and Clinton, and three Republican administrations, Ronald Reagan, Trilateral Commissioner George H.W. Bush, and George W. Bush. As seasoned technocrats, both Volcker and Greenspan were monetary technicians with dictatorial power over all monetary and economic matters in the United States. Greenspan and Kissinger are still alive in their mid-90s, but they will likely join Volcker in the grave soon enough. In 2007, I wrote an article, The Trilateral Commission Usurping Sovereignty, and I would commend it to you today to read because it gives a concise history of the Commission's new international economic order, which we now know as technocracy, a.k.a. sustainable development, green economy, etc. For those who have any lingering respect for the Constitution, free enterprise, and the American dream, it is impossible to wish rest in peace to Volcker or any of his other trilateral cronies who have recently preceded him. That is, David Rockefeller, 2017, Zbigniew Brzezinski, 2017, Peter G. Peterson, 2018, Richard Gardner, 2019, George H.W. Bush, 2018. Oh, let's not forget Jeffrey Epstein as well, who died in 2019. Did he kill himself, or did somebody else help him along? Collectively, they have left the world in a shambles of their own doing, from which there is no return. Income and wealth inequality is at an all-time high. Sustainable development, a.k.a. technocracy, is now woven into the fabric of the global economy, including the United States, and the global monetary system is on life support. New international economic order, indeed. Well, he's gone in any case. We won't have to deal with him anymore, but we will deal with the aftermath of the Paul Volckers of the world, just like we will when Henry Kissinger passes and so on. People will give him great accolades about what a great statesman he was and what a wonderful person he was and how many people he helped. Well, he also was one of those that fostered along the new international economic order. This was no bargain. It was all about them. It wasn't about you and me. It wasn't about any of the people of the world. It was about them and them alone. I'll take a couple of minutes at the end here to give you a heads up on activities between now and Christmas of 2019. I normally don't date these audio broadcasts, but I will this time. There's 12 business days left between now and Christmas. And that reminds me of the 12 days of Christmas. No, don't worry. I'm not going to sing you a song. But I've decided to take the opportunity with 12 days left to write 12 short articles, one each day, representing the 12 days of Christmas. I'm going to temporarily suspend posting 3 articles each day like I have done for so long. That will resume after Christmas. But in the meantime, between now and Christmas, I'm going to write, personally, one short article demonstrating some aspect of technocracy in America and maybe elsewhere in the world. And this will give me a chance to put my thoughts into your head as you take time to think about these things between now and Christmas. This is a good time to do that. So you can look for that on the website, technocracy.news, and you can look for the comments that I make along the way as well on this broadcast on technocracy.studio. I'm Patrick Wood for Technocracy News and Trends. We'll see you next time.